The first reading is from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. And the second reading is Psalm 23. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, what a fun morning. What other things would you want to do on your Sunday morning than to be part of seeing Lexi baptized and Carrie renewing her baptismal vows? Have we got PowerPoint on the In Easy Worship? We popped it on yesterday. Hopefully it's there. If it's not, it'll be on the desktop. Thank you. Thank you so much. So we're welcoming, as the family of God, new followers of Jesus. That's what baptism is all about. New followers of Jesus joining the family of God. So what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a Christian? Is it all about coming to church, putting our hands in the air and singing these songs? Is it all about reading our Bible? Is it all about becoming a person who prays? Is it all about becoming somebody who does good things, who shows God's love by doing good deeds to other people? This passage that we've got this morning, this part of John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus is telling his disciples, thank you so much, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He says, this is what it means to follow me, to be a Christian. It's about being devoted, and it's about being fruitful. It's about being devoted in two directions: devoted to Jesus and devoted to each other. That's first, devoted to Jesus and devoted to each other. And if we will live with that posture of being devoted, Jesus says, then you'll be fruitful. And we're called to be fruitful people for God. First of all, devoted to Jesus. Remain in me, says Jesus in verse 9, in the first verse from our reading. Remain in me. It comes from the Greek verb meno, and it means stay. Remain. Don't leave. Stay in this place. Jesus invites us to live in him. And then he says, And then stay living in me. Go on. Keep on living in me. And this morning we've witnessed two people and we've celebrated two people who have encountered Jesus, who've responded to this call to live in Jesus. And they said, I want to stay devoted to Jesus. Quite a few years ago, as a family, we went water skiing. We're on Lake Windermere. It was pretty cold and pretty smelly, actually, is my biggest memory of it. Not a nice smelling lake, Lake Windermere. You can see our three children a few years ago now, so they're a bit younger, looking quite cool in the back of the boat. And then we were water skiing on this boat. If you could go through this one more picture, I think, Kathy, thank you. On the side of the boat was this pole that stuck out, and the boat went slowly forward. And it was a chance to practice water skiing. We had our water skis on. And the kids did pretty well. And if you could do that, then you go to the back of the boat and you hold on to the handle that's on the end of a long rope, and then you get to do proper water skiing. Well, our kids did that, but Nick and I, we didn't get past hanging onto that pole. We were holding onto the pole in the water, just waiting like this. And then the boat just ever so gently moves forward. And both Nick and I would ever so gently drop the pole and fall face down into the water again and again and again. It was really quite annoying, wasn't it? Quite upsetting. We couldn't do it. Jesus says, hold on. He says, hold on. Remain in me. Don't let go. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. Earlier on, Jesus talks about being the vine. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me, unless you hold on, unless you stay and don't leave living in me. There's something for us to do here, isn't there? To hold on. Some of us, as Christians, we'll spend a lot of our energy trying to be fruitful for God, putting on events, working hard at conversations, trying to make something happen, trying to be really, really like Jesus. It's not what I read here. That's not how a plant produces fruit. The branch, to be fruitful, simply remains connected to the source. The branch remains connected to the vine. We are to hear God's invitation to come and find life in him, life in all its fullness. And then we're to stay there, because it won't always be easy. And there'll be reasons, there'll be temptations, there'll be things that happen that make us think, maybe I don't need to stay here anymore. Jesus says, no, he says, stay, remain, hold on to me, don't leave. That's where we're to spend our energy. That's how we're to live fruitful lives, by putting all our energy into remaining in Christ. So how do we do that? How do we remain? How do we hold on to Jesus? In verse 10, Jesus says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. So we're to obey what Jesus says. We're to live the Jesus way. And the best place to find out about how to do that is in this book. Read Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. It speaks all about how to live a life that pleases God, a life of grace. In the Old Testament, read Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. It speaks a lot about what it means to be a person and a people who live in devotion to God, who will stay holding on, remaining in that place of being devoted to God. Obey Jesus' commands. Somebody once asked Jesus, well, which is the greatest command? There's so many. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, your mind and your strength. And then what did he say? And love your neighbor as yourself. Be devoted to him. Be devoted to each other. Jesus said, all the law and the prophets Everything in the Bible hangs on those two things, loving God and loving each other. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, he says, train yourself to be godly. Work at it. Work at remaining in Jesus. We're to live as individuals. It's this beautiful picture we see in Psalm 23 of somebody who finds rest and peace with God. Somebody who enjoys spending time devoted to God. Christians call it a quiet time, a devotional time. It's a good practice to do. I think it's best done first thing in the morning. Just time with the Lord, knowing who I am in him and who he is to me. We're also to be devoted to Jesus together, though, not just on our own. We're called to be a people. We're called to gather together in small groups, to open up his word, to understand the Bible, to pray together, to support each other. Not yet, almost. Hold it there. To gather on a Sunday morning, to baptize, to sing songs, to look at his word in this place, but to go home afterwards and share fellowship around the table for lunch. We're called to be devoted to Jesus together. The writer to the Hebrews says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, and let us not give up meeting together. So this is what we are to work at, being devoted to Jesus. Being devoted to him and being devoted to each other. Now, when you see those two words on the screen, the church, I wonder what comes to mind for you. What visual picture you think of when you think of the church? Click one. Do you think of a building? St. Paul's Cathedral, a beautiful, grand-looking building. Do you think of a stained glass window? You might recognize these windows from Birmingham Cathedral. Do you think of a church organ? A very evocative sound. Or do you think of a rather cool church worship band? Oh, yes. A very cool-looking worship band. Or do you think of the people? That's on the front of our website, because that's the church. Yes, the building is helpful and important, and we're in front of our church building there. But this is what God's been doing since the beginning. He's been forming a people who would belong to him, a people who will remain and hold on to walking in his ways in Christ, a people who will stand out in this world as holy, as different, with a different message, a better way to live. A people who will shine like stars in a dark world, who will hold out the word of life and hope to any who will recognize that and respond to it. God wants to build a people for himself. We're to be devoted to each other. And that's what it's always been about for God, forming a people, a community. As I said before, in baptism, Lexi and Carrie join the people of God, welcomed into the family of God. Nikki Gumbel, who heads up Alpha, talks of the church as the household of God. He says, when you encounter Jesus, it's like coming home. It's like coming home. You find a God who loves you and accepts you and welcomes you. And you should find a people who love you and will accept you and welcome you. But look around. Have a quick look around this room this morning and just look at the gathered church today. See how diverse we are. Different ages, different backgrounds. Just think of the global church across the world. How diverse the church is. I remember Gavin Calver, the CEO of the Evangelical Alliance, once telling the story of taking a group from church out for an restaurant and having a chat with the manager of the restaurant and saying, see these people gathered around this table. What do you think it is that brings us all together? And the manager looked at them all and thought and thought and thought. And he said, the only thing I can think of is that you guys are from a church, because there's no other organization, there's no other thing that could bring this bunch of people who are all different together. The church is wonderfully diverse. We're not all supposed to look the same in church. It's the beauty of the church, this, isn't it? But it's also a challenge. We're not to just hang around with the PLUs. Do you know what the PLUs are? The people like us. We love hanging around with the people like us. Easy to connect to. Easy to switch off with a little bit sometimes. But we're not to just hang around with the PLUs. Quite the opposite, I think, in the church. We're to deliberately hang around with the people who are not like us. The NPLUs, I think I'll call them. People who have different expectations in life, different backgrounds, different preferences, different values even, different aspirations, different personality types. That's the glory of the church. Jesus commands us to be devoted, to love each other in the same way that he has loved us. With some people, it's going to be easy, isn't it? The PLUs. We just warm to some people. But we don't warm to everyone, do we? That's why Jesus says, this is my command. Love each other. Work it out. And he sets the bar high, doesn't he? In verses 12 and 13, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay his life down for his friends. If Jesus laid his life down for you, then surely it means that at the very least, we've got to be prepared to be inconvenienced by each other. When you're sat watching the TV in the evening and the door goes, and somebody just needs you to get up and to be inconvenienced by them. When you've got plans that get interrupted by your brother or sister in Christ who needs you, how ready are we to shift our attention and our love to them? Even the NPLUs. This is what sets the church apart. This, says Jesus, is how the world will know that this is real, that we're not just some funny club, but this is real, because look at them. Look at how they are with each other. This is how the world will know that God the Father sent the Son so that we might be restored, forgiven, set free, that we might find new life. This is real. And Jesus says the world will see it's real by how you are with each other. It flies in the face of society and cultural expectations today. The American preacher John Mark Comer talks about radical individualism that is rampant in our society today. Radical individualism. It's in complete opposition to Jesus' command to love each other. Radical individualism says it's all about my privacy. Way. It's all about my personal space. I need my space around me. It's all about what I'm entitled to. It's about my individual rights. It's all about what I need. That's what matters. That's radical individualism. The Jesus way is completely opposed to that. Breaks those social boundaries. Be devoted to God wholeheartedly and be devoted to each other. Jesus has loved us. I read a great quote the other day. If you're struggling to love the church, just try and see the church through God's eyes. Maybe that's an individual. Maybe that's the gathered church. The quote is, we are called to love each other, not because we are so lovable, either me or you, but because we are so loved by him. We're called to love each other, not because we're so lovable, but because we are so loved. Josh Moody writes that in his John commentary. Remain in me. Hold on, says Jesus. Be devoted to Jesus. Be devoted to each other. And that is the way that we live the fruitful life that we were made to live. The fruitful life that God longs us to live. We're meant to be fruitful. As I say, Jesus refers to him as a vine. A vine is designed to be fruitful. It just gives new life. That's what it exists to do. It's a life giver, produces new life, new shoots, good fruit that satisfies, that's good for the soul. Jesus is the vine. He came to bring new life to you and to me. He says if we remain in him, not only can we experience this new life of forgiveness, of freedom. We heard some of it in our testimonies this morning, what it means to come to know God. He came that we might experience that, but he also came that new life would then flow through us out to others, because he has a heart for every single one of us. New life. That's one of the fruits of remaining in Jesus. New beginnings. Forgiveness. Being set free from the past. It's such a good thing. Such a freeing thing to be fully forgiven, to be healed of the hurts of the past. And it's an ongoing thing as Jesus heals us, as we follow him and walk with him. So good to witness baptisms, renewal of baptisms this morning, isn't it? I love this sort of thing. This is what we get out of bed for, isn't it? We love this. And it makes me want to cry out to God for more of this. In this community, more new life. Don't you want to cry out to God for that? Brings me on to another aspect of fruitfulness, a vibrant prayer life. Jesus says that if we remain in him, in verse 16, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. That is quite a verse, isn't it? Whatever you ask for, your Father in heaven will give you. I think Jesus is saying, if we remain in him, if we devote ourselves to him, if we learn what it is that pleases God, that resonates well with his purposes and his kingdom, if we will allow our minds to be transformed, if we will be renewed, as Paul writes to the Romans, then we'll be able to know what God's will is, and it'll guide us. His will will guide us as we pray. A fruit to remaining in Christ is a vibrant prayer life. Another fruit is joy. Verse 11, Jesus says, he's told his disciples this. He invites them to remain in him so that they might experience his joy. He says he longs that his joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. John, who wrote this gospel, goes on to write a couple of smaller letters towards the end of the New Testament. John, who called himself the disciple that Jesus loves. He knew he was loved by Jesus. He writes this in 1 John. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing this to make our joy complete. Do you hear those words again? Fellowship with the Father. Fellowship with us, with each other. It's the deep joy of being in relationship with God and with his people. Being loved and being known. Tim Keller once said, to be loved but not known is comforting, but it's superficial. To be known and not loved, well, that is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved, that's a lot like being loved by God. That's deep joy. That's the joy of remaining in Christ. That's that fruit of remaining in Christ. One last fruit I want to mention is that we become like Jesus. We grow in our Christ-likeness. We look like the sort of people that hang around with Jesus. Jesus says in verse 8, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If we will say yes and stay and hold on, will become increasingly like Jesus. We'll look like the sort of people that hang around with Jesus. So what happens in the early church? In Acts 4, there's a story of the apostles Peter and John. They've been out, they've healed a man, and they're telling everyone about Jesus, and they get arrested and thrown into prison. And the next day, the people who threw him in prison look at them and they say, these guys, they're just ordinary people. They're not even educated very well. But it says they took note. These men have been with Jesus. You start to look like the sort of people with Jesus. You start to look like Jesus. Jesus says, if you remain in me, you'll bring glory to my Father and you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The world today, with all its struggles and all its issues, it doesn't need a load of clever answers from clever people. It doesn't need strong people who are going to bully parts of the world into submission. It doesn't even need a beautiful, spotless church building where people can go and quietly pray, though I love those places. The world needs Jesus. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the only way to life eternal. Jesus, the only one who brings forgiveness, freedom. Those three questions I asked Lexi and Carrie. Do you turn away from the sin? Do you turn away from the stuff that gets in the way from us fully knowing God? Do you turn to Jesus? Jesus is the only one who can help us to do that, who can enable us to do that. The world needs Jesus. And Jesus will show himself in all sorts of ways that he wants to do that. But that will include showing himself through the gathered church. If you're sat here this morning and you don't know Jesus, and you've heard me and others talk about new life, something changing, something that is only possible when you follow Jesus, please speak to one of us after the service. We'd love to chat with you. Grab Manda, grab myself, grab anyone that you've seen at the front here. We'd love to chat with you afterwards and tell you more. St. Mary's often run explorer courses. What we're running in the new year, Manda?
Last week of January begins.
Last week of January, that'd be 3-2-1. A 4-week course to explore what the Christian faith is. If this isn't real, then it doesn't matter, does it? But if this is true, this changes everything. Everything for eternity. So I encourage you to come and chat to one of us. If you're sat here as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, then on my last Sunday with you, my parting message is remain. Don't go. Don't leave him. Hold on. Remain in Christ. Stay devoted to him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And stay devoted to each other. Even the NPLUs. Stay devoted and work at it. I'm reminded of a prayer, a famous prayer by St. Richard of Chichester. I've shared this before and some of you will be familiar with it. I just invite you to look at it now and in a moment we'll pray it. But just look at these words. Praying to Jesus. If you'd like to join me, I'm going to pray this for me and for us this morning. Most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. This is our calling as the people of God to remain and to hold on to him. Amen.